إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His forgiveness, and we ask His assistance, and we seek refuge with Allah from the evil within our souls and the consequences of our bad deeds. Verily, whomsoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray, and whomsoever Allah allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone, having no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a slave and his messenger. May Allah exalt his mention, grant him peace, and send his salutations and his blessings upon him, upon his wives, upon his companions, and all those who follow them on their path of righteousness until the day of recompense. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَقَّ تُقَاتِهِ وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. O you who have believed, fear Allah and be mindful of Him the way He deserves it. And do not die except in the state of submission as Muslims. Brothers in Islam, the dream has come true and the wish has been granted. The dream has come true and the wish has been granted. We were fantasizing about making it to the last 10 nights of Ramadan. It's a dream that every believer has, hoping that in these nights something good will happen to us that will erase and expiate and eliminate what we have done in the past. And it is truly a blessing from Allah to be given the opportunity to experience this once again, as not everyone is that fortunate. In fact, a colleague of ours at work was not that fortunate. He died a few days ago. Young age, 39, 3 children, heart attack, gone. That could have been me, or that could have been you. However, Allah did not assign for the angel of death to come for our souls yet. And therefore we are experiencing these blessed days and nights of Ramadan. However, we learn from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that not everyone who experiences them will benefit. In fact, there are certain people whom the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua against. For those who don't utilize the days of Ramadan, and specifically Laylatul Qadr, من حرمها فقد حرم الخير كله. Whosoever hasn't been blessed to experience it, to utilize it, to take advantage of it, the one who's been deprived is the word I was looking for, then he is deprived of all types of good. In another hadith, فَهُوَ الْمَحْرُومِ, he is the one who is ultimately deprived. The one who allows these nights to go by while he does not utilize it and that which is pleasing Allah. And we do not mean, nor do we intend, nor is it possible that you'll be praying all night or that you'll be reading the Quran all night from after Isha until Fajr, or you'll be making dua all night. It is humanly impossible, at least at that level and stage that we are in. However, saddidu waqaribu, aim, have an objective, have a target, and come as close as you can to that target. Not either I'm going to do half of the Quran in one night, or I'll just sleep. We don't have to go to either extremes.
Because the shaitan will use this against us. If we can't achieve that ultimate goal we had, then there's a sense of disappointment, and therefore we just cool off too much. We lose the interest and nothing gets done. It's from the shaitan. We couldn't reach that goal we wanted, it's okay. Let us continue to strive to come as close as possible to it. So these 10 days and 10 nights, and 10 nights specifically, the days is because we are fasting. And the nights is because of our engagement in salah and other acts of worship. These nights are very virtuous. And some of the scholars consider the qasam, the oath which Allah made in Surah Al-Fajr, in reference to the last 10 nights of Ramadan. While others say it's the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Either way, these are virtuous 10 nights, so virtuous that the Prophet ﷺ would actually do i'tikaf. I'tikaf is the idea of abandoning the worldly life and restricting oneself to the masjid. I'm saying this because in modern times, our sisters, mashallah, who like to innovate, came up with their own type of i'tikaf at home. There's no i'tikaf at home. Home is home. And the masjid is the masjid. And the i'tikaf can only take place in the masjid. وَأَنْتُمْ عَاكِفُونَ فِي الْمَسَاجِدِ As Allah says in the Quran, do not approach you women folks while you are in the state of i'tikaf in the masajid. And the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further support that. So he alayhi salatu wasalam and his wives would also do i'tikaf in the masjid, which is permissible for the woman to do. She may do i'tikaf in the masjid in the women's section obviously nowadays. He would alayhi salatu wasalam abandon everything and remain the last 10 nights in the masjid. Away from the worldly life, away from the traffic, away from the headache, away from the market, away from business, away from anything which distracts us on daily basis. Dedication to the worship of Allah. Some of us are fortunate to do this. Some people have jobs that don't allow them to do i'tikaf. So they try to spend as much time as possible in the masjid, and that is also appreciated and virtuous. But this is how important they were. And one of the reasons why these 10 nights are virtuous is because within them or among them is one night. That one night is so virtuous that Allah revealed the surah in reference to this one night, highlighting the importance of this one night. And you all know this is Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alfi shahr. The night of decree. Some of the ulama say it was called Qadr because of Qadr. Meaning it's the night where everything is decreed. فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ As Allah said in the Quran. On that night, every matter of importance is decided and decreed for the whole year. As the ulama state. The decree of Allah for the whole year is on Laylatul Qadr. And some say it has to do with other things like power or virtue. The night of power or virtue from Qadr al-Shay' Muqaddar, something that has a value. Either way, there's no conflict between the two meanings. All of them are actually possible. Because there's no conflict between them. So if the word encompasses multiple meanings, we accept all meanings. خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ Some of the scholars like to go into numerical analysis, which you may, because 1,000 months, if you were to calculate it, is around 83 plus years. So they say one night is equivalent to 83 years, more than 83 years. And actually when Allah says خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ that makes it even better than that. So you cannot say that one night is equal to 83 years, it's actually more than that. How much more? No one knows, because it's from Allah. The other scholars say this is only a form of exaggeration. When the Arabs back then wanted to mention a long time, say Alf Shahr, meaning a long time. Either way, it is in reference to how important this particular night is. The problem that we have is that we're lazy. And we would love that it would be on the 27th only. so that we will do ibadah on the 27th only. And therefore we can feel good, each one with his own self. That, alhamdulillah, the 27th is probably Laylatul Qadr and I spend that night in the masjid, Allahu Akbar. That sounds nice. However, we cannot dismiss tens of narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and from the Sahaba that open up the discussion even further than what you think. What you're thinking right now, probably, yeah, it could be on the 21st or the 23rd or the 25th or the 27th or the 29th. True. But that's false as well. Because of the narrations which we have from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it could actually be on any one of the last 10 nights. The night of the 20th, 21st, 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, or the 30th. The reason behind that is the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, which is supported by the interpretation of the Sahaba. That when you seek it in the last 10 nights. Some of them mention Laylatul Thalith al-Ishri, meaning the 23rd or the 25th or the 27th. And others say لِسَبْعَةٍ بَاقِيَةٍ لِخَمْسَةٍ بَاقِيَةٍ لِثَلَاثَةٍ بَاقِيَةٍ, meaning when there's remaining 7 nights or 5 nights or 3 nights. So let us analyze this. If the month of Ramadan is 29 days, then it doesn't make a difference whether you count this way or that way. Either way, it will be on an odd night. But if the night is 30, if the Ramadan, I'm sorry, is 30 days. So let us calculate 7 remaining. Then that would be the night of the 26th. Because you say the 26th, the 27th, the 28th, the 29th, I'm sorry, the 24th. Go back, not the 26th, the 24th. Because we're saying now the even nights, not the odd nights. The odd night is 25. The even is 24th. So you say 24th, 25th, 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th. These are 7 nights remaining from Ramadan. And the Prophet ﷺ seek it when there are 7 nights remaining from Ramadan. If Ramadan is 30 days, then that will be the night of the 24th. Not the 25th, nor the 23rd. And you can apply the same principle on all numbers. Now this is not my own innovation, so you won't freak out. Say, hey, we've hearing something we've never heard in our lives. This is Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah's work, rahimahullah. And many of the ulama, including Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, one of the narrators of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in regards to Laylatul Qadr. So what we're trying to say here is, yes, based on other narrations, it is more probable that it's on the odd nights, and the most probable on the 27th. However, we cannot dismiss the idea that it could be on any nights of the nights, the last 10 nights of Ramadan. Therefore, let us be real with ourselves, and let us avoid the laziness. Let us strive each one of these nights. You may strive a little extra on the 27th because of the ahadith which support the 27th. But so many narrations mention that they saw it back then on the 23rd or the 25th. Meaning, as the ulama say, it fluctuates. It changes around every year. Every year, Laylatul Qadr can fall on one of the nights of the last 10 nights of Ramadan. No one knows. There are signs, but the signs come the next day. Some of them come the same night, like it's Laylatun Bari, La Harra Wala Barida. It's a night that will be neither too hot nor too cool. It'll be a cool, easy night. There's some peace and tranquility in it. And the next day when the sun rises, there are no strong rays, sun rays. They're not strong. At some point it's going to change. But you can see that the sun is different than other days. However, the signs may not even appear. We don't use the signs as a proof or evidence that there was a Laylatul Qadr. It inevitably is there. We might see it through the signs. Some people see it in their dreams, as the Prophet ﷺ saw it in his dream. And some people see it while they're awake. Allah allows them to see certain type of lights and stuff like that. Anyways, we're not going to go looking for that. If it comes to one of us, alhamdulillah, if not, our goal and objective is to dedicate these nights to worship to the best of our abilities. And in the second part of the khutbah, we will discuss how that can be done and what should be avoided to establish and accomplish that. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Brothers in Islam, if you don't have a plan, you will hardly ever make it. In everything we do, we have a plan. Every business has a strategy for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years ahead. Even though the company may go bankrupt the next day and all employees get fired and all that stuff, still, they have long-term plans and short-term plans. Because if you work haphazardly, you won't make business or you won't stay in the business. It just doesn't happen. Similarly, if we don't have a plan, then we will get lost very quickly and very easily. We will lose our focus and our ability to manage our time. Therefore, it is recommended that we have a plan for these upcoming nights. One of which is to get all the shopping out of the way already. We should have done that before. We should have done that early on, before Ramadan or the beginning of Ramadan. But if for whatever reason Allah did not allow this to happen for whatever reason, then we should not wait until the very end. Preferably go during the day while you are fasting. Usually the supermarkets are less crowded, and secondly, it won't conflict with your night, because now we said the nights are going to be dedicated. So go during the day, get it over with, and don't frequently visit the supermarkets. Same goes for shopping for clothes and stuff like that and things for Eid. That has to be done. Because some people spend 5 of the last 10 nights shopping and the other 5 worshipping, which is still good, but not as good. And why would we miss out on these nights which we could spend worshipping Allah, doing something that will not really benefit us in the life to come? It's just not the wisest decision. We're not saying it's haram. One may do so. One may ignore all of that and go shopping all day. But that is not wise. We're speaking about wisdom and intelligence here. Secondly, it is preferred that you stay in the masjid as much as possible unless there are reasons that are preventing you from doing so. But the masjid is generally a decent environment for you to be less distracted, unless you have too many people around you who distract you. But it's air conditioned, so you don't have to worry about that. There's often water in the masjid, you don't have to worry about that. And if you take some snacks with you, then you're technically good to go. So why not go to the masjid from after Maghrib, for example? Instead of having this humongous meal at iftar that knocks you out, so you're unable to move for the next 3 hours, nor are you able to pray properly. All you think about is sleep and how soon this imam will finish so you can go home and sleep. That's what happens. And that is the tax for eating too much. Your stomach has been resting all day. All of a sudden you shove all types of food in it. Within minutes, you're going to get exhausted. Your body will get exhausted. And you can tell on the night where you ate a lot how your taraweeh was, versus the night where you had a light snack. And this is why it's from the sunnah to eat some dates and stuff like that. Because you have to minimize the iftar as much as possible. I know we're hungry, all hungry. But you all know that 5 minutes before the iftar time, you're no longer hungry. The hunger becomes extreme 2 to 3 hours before. And then when the 5 minutes left, you think to yourself, I can go for another 2 hours, you know? You know this. The hunger goes away. As soon as you eat the first bite, khalas. It's a matter of discipline. Not your stomach is not asking for that big plate. Your mind is. And if you don't discipline your mind, you will pay. The Prophet ﷺ taught us that the worst container you will ever feel is your own belly, your own stomach. He said, sufficient for the son of Adam are a few bites to keep you back straight. Meaning Allah created the human being capable of surviving with only a few bites. A few bites will keep you back straight. And in fact, it will give you more energy. You eat less, you get more energy. You eat a lot, you get less energy. He said, فَإِنْ لَا مُحَالَ. If it is inevitable that you're going to eat, these three bites, you're too skinny, they're not sufficing you to keep you back straight, then one third for food, and one third for drink, and one third for air, for you to breathe. Where are we from this hadith? Subhanallah. A few bites is sufficient. Worst case scenario, one third for food. Who eats one third for food for iftar now? إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمَ اللَّهِ. It's the whole thing and more. It's a third over the full. And therefore our ibadah is ruined for the rest of the night. Tired, sleepy, lazy. And then your body digested, you go to the bathroom, now you're hungry again. So now we go for another course, and then another course. And we spend the whole night eating, from iftar until suhoor. What kind of Ramadan is this? What kind of ibadah is this? What's going on? And during the day we're sleeping. So sleep the whole day, eat the whole night, watch a few soap operas on TV that are called Ramadan soap opera, and khalas, mashallah, for the ummah. And then we complain about Palestine, and we complain about Syria, and we complain about Afghanistan, and we complain about the Muslim ummah. What are we complaining about? This is what we have brought upon ourselves. This is what we have earned with our own hands. Unless we change collectively, Allah will not change the affair of this ummah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah will not change the affair of the people until they change what is within themselves. We have to change. And that change begins now, in these coming days and nights. So avoid overeating. Eat a light snack. Go to the house of Allah and take something with you to keep you moving. When you get hungry, obviously, you can eat some snacks. Preferably something healthy. Not sambusa. Too oily. Too unhealthy for your stomach. And then stay in the masjid, ya akhi. Stay in the masjid until Isha. And then pray Isha. Then pray Taraweeh. And stay as much as possible. Then when you go home, you also have an agenda. You know that you want to recite this much of the Quran, or you want to reach this particular juz, or you want to read the tafsir, which is way more important than merely reading khatma, khatma, khatma. Another cultural ritualism. We're obsessed with khatma, and which imam, and go to the haram to do the khatma with the imam on the night of the 27th. All of these are not part of Islam the way we have made them. There was no khatma with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the whole sahaba were keen on attending. Yes, the Quran would be recited, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would study the Quran with Jibreel. Study the Quran, yatadarasuhu ma' Jibreel. He would study the Quran alayhi sallam, not merely recite it. This is why we need to study the Quran, not merely recite it. What is the benefit if you read the Quran 20 times? Besides the hasanat which one gets, where is the hidayah of the Quran? It's not there. We don't deny that al-harf bi-ashri hasanat, one letter is equal to 10 good deeds. The hadith of the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. But where is the hidayah that the Quran contains? إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ. This Quran will guide you to that which is most good. Where is it? We won't get it if we're reading Arabic and we don't speak Arabic. The same way you can go to study some medicine and you read it, a book in Japanese, a book of medicine in Japanese, you can read it 20 times. You're not going to know medicine afterwards because you don't know Japanese. And you can say, I read this book 20 times, well, tell me what it says. Well, I don't know. Not even a sentence. That's meaningless. But study one chapter of this book and understand it. Now you can do surgery. Now you can use it. It is much better than the one who read it 20 times. And it's more, if this is regarding the speech of a human being, what about the speech of Allah? The situation is more so with the Quran. So the message is, we need to understand the Quran, not merely recite the Quran. which is the phenomena that we have. So why not give some time for tafsir? Read it. Read the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, of the tafsir of Ibn Kathir in English. Read it. Read it in Urdu. Read it. Part of your ibadah to understand what Allah wants from you. And this way, we can properly utilize the last 10 nights. At the end, we have to mention the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in regards to the dua, that one must is advised to say on these nights. Now there are two narrations. One of them has an additional word which was authenticated by Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah, and therefore I would like to share it with you as well. The one which we all know is Allahumma annaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. The additional one which is also authentic, Allahumma innaka afuun kareemun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. There's the additional word kareem, the most generous. And that is an authentic tradition attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, it is advised, as Aisha was instructed by Allah's Messenger alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that on these nights, you often repeat this dua. Allahumma innaka afuun kareemun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Oh Allah, you are the one who pardons and is most generous, and you love to pardon, so pardon me. It's a beautiful dua. And the etiquette of dua is that a person is just like a beggar. The etiquettes of the dua are equal to those of a beggar. If a beggar came in front of you and started screaming and started singing to you his need, you will run away from him and you will ignore him. And you know what I'm referring to. If a beggar were to start screaming, as some imams do in the dua, mind you, the khutbah al-jum'ah, you have to scream. It's the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to scream, so don't look at me funny. We're talking about in dua, in dua. It is not from the sunnah to scream at Allah. Nor is it from the sunnah to apply the ahkam of tajweed in the dua. Nor is it from the sunnah to melodiously deliver the dua. Nor is it from the sunnah to give a long narrative in the dua. Oh Allah, forgive us when they carry us on the shoulders, and forgive us when they move towards the grave, and forgive us when they put us in the grave, and forgive us when they put dirt over our head. Ya akhi, this is a story. It's not a dua anymore. You just make one comprehensive dua that Allah forgives you when you die in khalas. You can repeat that, because Allah loves those who repeat and beg Him for the dua. But don't tell a narrative in the dua. And needless to say, we don't have to have the poetry in it that they always have to end. If it happens coincidentally, alhamdulillah. But it's not an objective in and of its own. So you are like a beggar. A beggar will come and say, please, I need a few riyals. This is the... Your heart will feel that you feel bad. You feel mercy. You feel remorse. You want to help him out. Not when he comes and screams and sings in front of you. So don't learn from the imams who have taken this dua into a whole nother level, which is really pleasing the crowd. Pleasing the crowd. What does the crowd want? The crowd want the imam to sing melodiously, yalla bismillah, as long as everybody cries at the end. The whole thing is about crying. And we can bring a Christian priest who will do the same thing with this congregation, and all of the Christians will be crying at the end. And the Hindus will do the same, and the Buddhists will do the same. This doesn't mean anything. You can cry to a song. This doesn't mean anything. You can cry to music. This doesn't mean anything. It's not the fact that we cried. It's not because the imam was doing it so perfectly that we cried. It's about understanding what we're wanting from Allah Azza wa Jal. If you're crying because the affair of your heart, wallahi, congratulations, you should be kissed on your head. If the reason why you cry behind the imam is because of you feel your position before Allah, jazakallahu khairan. But if you're crying because everyone else is crying and the imam is crying and he's just doing it so nicely and screaming so loud that you cry with him, this is meaningless. This is all ritualism. We need to abandon this stuff. So when you make dua on your own, don't do like the imams today. And I'm not generalizing. Alhamdulillah, many of them follow the sunnah, jazakallahu khair. You beg Allah. Put your hands together like this. Like a beggar, you begin by praising Allah and sending salat and salam upon the Prophet ﷺ, and you ask Allah like a slave and a beggar. to give you of the good of the dunya and the akhirah, and ask Allah for al-firdaus, and ask Allah of whatever you want. Do this often in the nights of Ramadan, the last 10 nights. Do this often. Make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal. In your ibadah, in your sujood, make dua to Allah Azza wa Jal. So, with this said, we don't have time to start making preparation or change. The time is now. We are already in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. So my brothers in Islam, I remind myself and you to take full advantage of what remains of Ramadan. Because we have to remember always and forever, this could be our last. Always remember. We always say to ourselves, speaking about myself, wallahi, I didn't do so well this year. Inshallah, next year I will have a better plan. We say this. But there could be no next year. And therefore, let us take advantage of it while we are alive. And while we can. And make sure that you have a niyyah. A niyyah to aim for the best. Because Allah will give you the ajr for your intention, even if you can't achieve. But aim for high. Aim for the best. And have the resolve to do it. And Allah Azza wa Jal is more merciful to us than we are to ourselves. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم يا مصرف القلوب اصرف قلوبنا على طاعتك ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم اللهم ارض عنا وعن آبائنا وأمهاتنا وعن المسلمين يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين وأوليائك المقربين وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم ارض عنا وارحمنا واهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا من المهتدين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله وسلم على النبي المختار